This podcast is about interview and job search strategies that work. Interview and job strategies at work. You know, the moment you start looking for a job is when you already have one. Always be looking for another job. And as you never know when your company is going to lay you off or go out of business. That's really true, right? A lot of times, you never know about your company. Anyway, the other thing is there's a couple strategies to have that may benefit you is, your email. Does your email have your name in it when you're applying for a job? Now, we're specifically talking about IT jobs in this podcast. So in that regard, create a blog, like a WordPress site or a Blogger site, and then have your resume on there and do and post an About Me page as well. So that people get to know who you are, like, who is this person? I want to get a good feeling about this person, right? Before they even see who you are or when you're applying, okay, this is really cool. The other thing is, create a professional profile on Twitter or LinkedIn and Instagram if you don't already have one, of course. Just get, tells the employer, I have a social experience. I have a social profile. I'm in the social media market, if you will. I don't know what you call it, that or not. But I'm a social media person. Okay, awesome. The other thing is, if you have a skill, teach people about it. Get a YouTube channel, in the IT field. Like, even if you're starting off, whatever it's plugging in a modem, whatever, do stuff like that. Get really excited about, creating your own content for other people to view, And then also I would say you create a money map. Basically, you have a map. United States, wherever you're at, right? And so you have the money map. Basically, on a map, you draw, I'm here, wherever here is for you. And then if a job is, say, 2 hours away, well, how much would you need to get paid per hour to go to that job? So that's the money map. That really will help you identify how much you want to earn. And also, if you want to know, what you're worth or what the job is worth, you go to, salary.com. or another resource like that, and just look up what does that job do? What do they pay? What's the median pay for that? So you kind of want to have an idea about that before you go in and just say, oh, I don't know, just pay me whatever. Yeah, they will pay you whatever. They will pay you the lowest possible amount. Believe that. Yeah, 100% on that one. Yeah. Anyway, so that takes into consideration your time, your travel. And then also how it affects your family. So you have to take the kids to work. You have to take the kids to school, ballet practice, piano practice, whatever. That'll affect that change as well. And, make an Excel spreadsheet out of it. Maybe make a graph that says, this is what I want to make. If I'm here and I work 30 minutes away, I want to make this much, or I can make this much. Or relative to what you're making. For instance, your current job is $14 an hour. Your commute time is, say, $2 an hour. Your new job that you're going to get, which is, an hour away because it's 1 hour back and forth, that's $20 an hour. So your real dollar amount that you're really going to get is more like $18 an hour. So put a dollar amount on that travel. That's really key with that. If you're traveling 4 hours for a job every day, 2 hours one way, figure out if it's making you make $14 an hour, what would you need to make in order for that to be a realistic thing? Yeah, you want to really talk about that and delve a strategy for that. The other thing is create a list, a tracking list that I've applied at this many job boards, this many companies I put my resume on. So you can track who have I sent my resume to, who, and also put in there your target rate. I put in this, you've put in this, for instance, Dice. You've put in whatever your dollar amount is, and make a chart of that and remember it, because a lot of times recruiters will go and say, okay, that's the rate you want to make. And they'll reference okay, they're going to sometimes base their target off of what you put in that Dice.com or whatever, Indeed.com, what do you want to make per hour. The other thing is create a a phone call, an interview tracker list. You can even record calls. That's probably highly recommended. When you have a recruiter that's calling you, or pretty much an interview, when you go over an interview, record that call, you know, and then go over and say, what did I do right? What did I do wrong with that? You know, the phone call, you'll identify who's calling you, you know, what is the location of the job they're calling about? What's the hourly rate they're going to pay? What's the hourly rate you want to pay? What you've told them, basically. Also, it tells you, like, what is the job requirements? What is my expectations? What certifications do I need? And also, be keen on your tone of voice. What is your tone saying? Are you really high pitched? Are you talking really fast? Or are you like, okay, let's just calmly talk about this? I know I'm kind of hyper about that, but, you know, I'm not the person to be talking about tone, by the way. No way, no possible. Yeah. And put like a, I don't know, 1 through 10, let's say. And do you think you got the job? You know, do you think they'll pay you more money? If it's a face-to-face interview, which is always recommended, what's their body language telling you? What are you reading? You know, how are you reading them? What are they saying? Are they always looking away? You know, are they, I don't know, not responsive to your discussion? You never know. And then, of course, you listen to your voice tone. I already made a talk about that. You know, do you sound confident when you talk to them, you know, on the phone? Are you like, yeah, I'm really confident about my skills? And probably, you know, it develops your elevator pitch a lot of times. Like, what's my core job skills in 1 minute? Okay, I'm good at this, you know, whatever that is. Okay, good. And you'll identify that, because every time you go to an interview and you record yourself, you'll say, okay, I need to work on this. Or, oh, that's nice. And you write it down. You may just start writing down what are your skills, your intro, your elevator pitch, basically, you know. Find out how to remember their names. You know, if you have a mechanism, write it down on a piece of paper. You know, even when you go there, write it down on a piece of paper. Always have a piece of paper, if you can, ahead of time when you go for a face-to-face, and that says, like, job interview for this job, whatever that job is. Then you put down, if you know the people you're meeting, put down, I'm meeting these people, this is the time, and then put some questions you might have. Do you offer 401k, for instance, right? You know, do you have a work-from-home policy? That's an awesome one to ask, you know? Just questions like that, you know, you need to know before you go. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're going from, like, say, a McDonald's to an IT, that's one thing. But if you're going from a IT to an IT position, you know, you really want to make sure that the staff and the management, you're not walking into something really crazy. Because they may be walking in, they may be just hiring you to fix their problems, you know, or they need somebody to blame. Either one. Yeah. The other thing is, add them to your LinkedIn account after, and then email them, thank you for the interview. You know, follow up with them for the interview. It's really important to do that. And always bug them. You always want to bug recruiters. You know, just bug them. Maybe 3 times, probably. If you don't hear back, because you want to know immediately if they're considering you or not. You know, if you call them 3 times and they say, hey, I don't know your I forget your name. Yeah, that's probably not a job for you. They probably don't remember you. They're probably hanging, okay, let's just, you know, because they don't want to, sometimes they don't want to tell you bad news or whatever. You know, these are people, humans after all. So some of them are shy, believe it or not. They're not all IT recruiters are not IT typically. They're just, they were bartenders or they were, you know, salespeople in some fashion. You know, a lot of times, look at their LinkedIn profile, you'll see that, you'll know what I'm talking about. So they're not IT. They don't speak IT, a lot of them. And what they do know is just based on experience. So, you know, make sure that the recruiter knows this is your hourly amount, and stick with that. You should really do your homework before doing that. So you want to have 1 hourly amount for this job, this title, and stick with it. That way you're not flipping and flopping around. You know, that know the range before you get in there. That's really key with this one. If you call the recruiter, I hit this point, but if you call the recruiter on Thursday and, you know, you have a great conversation and on Friday, they don't know who you are, that's time to move on to another recruiter, you know, or maybe go to a, if it's a client that they're representing, go to the client themselves directly. Try to find out as much information about the company as possible before you even go and apply. You know, you want to know, like, who are they? What do they do? Again, if you're just looking for a job and you're McDonald's, you want just IT call center, basically, don't worry about that. Just go and apply. They'll train you. You know, call centers will train you. There's 2 weeks usually. You get cool training, and you just have to sit back and just like absorb it. You know, just absorb. Get a notebook, write it down, write down what they tell you to write down, and just absorb and wait patiently. After you get that first call center job, bam, start applying. Start applying for the next one. And those every interview you have, you're going to learn, like, what do I not know about this job? Every interview you go on, you learn, okay, I need to know this technology. You know, for instance, if you're going to call center and you go to help desk, well, I need to know Active Directory for help desk. You would know that by going to an interview. And then, okay, well, you learn Active Directory. You go to like Udemy and you, what is Active Directory? You Google it, and then you learn it. Okay, good, awesome. And then you download Microsoft Windows, free. You install Active Directory, you know, YouTube, watch the videos, really cool. You learn Active Directory, you learn how to create users, groups, objects. Awesome, you're very cool now. Now you apply for the help desk job. So maybe you went from $10 an hour to say $12 an hour call center. Now you're up to $15 an hour help desk. Awesome, look at that. And that was only a matter of a couple of months, because nothing says you can't, you know, jump from a call center job to a help desk job in a month. You know, it's all about you, whatever you want to do. You don't owe these companies anything. Believe that, you know, I know, oh yeah, I'm loyal to the company. I guess in some regard, you know, the IBMers of the world, yeah, that's okay. Some relevance to that. And I don't knock that. That's their deal, right? I'm saying is, if you want to get the most money for in IT, you got to move up. You can't stay stagnant. I know people who are worked help desk for like 10 years. Like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you still help desk? Well, I'm comfortable. And they're making like $15 an hour. Hey, that's good for them. Awesome. That, you know what that means? That means less competition for other folks is what that means. Everybody else doesn't have to worry about that person taking their job because they're not a threat. They're just happy doing what they're doing. No big deal. That's what they want to do. No worries. The other thing I'll say for a job, you go and search for a job and it says, okay, you have to have a 2-year degree, associates or whatever. You have to have a CCNA, for instance, right? And you say, okay, well, I can either go to college for 2 years and spend about $9,000. I Googled the national average, about $9,000 for a 2-year degree, then spend about 3 months of training and about $250 to get your CCNA to get this job. Or you can bypass that whole associate's degree deal nonsense for that job and say, I'm just going to get a CCNA and save about $9,000. And then I'll just get a job at some other competitor of this company. You know, yeah, I would definitely say that. Yeah, don't make the mistake of thinking that you need to pay money for an associate's degree for a job when you can just easily go get a job at their competitor with a certification. Always keep that in mind. What does the job say? Because a lot of jobs say bachelor's degree, associate's degree. You know, if you have the skills, if you have the knowledge, they're going to hire you, irregardless of that degree. I've seen it how many times. Okay, so that wraps up my podcast for this first podcast, introduction podcast. I hope you've got some value out of it, and I thank you for listening.